Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast here on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation today, as always, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for joining us today, spending some time with our listeners, our clients, for what will be our final conversation for 2024. So nice to have you with us, Shane, as we close out the year.
Well, Dan, it's been a good year. Thank you for having me, joining you all year long. Look forward to hopefully having a good conversation to end on.
Absolutely. And with that, Shane, even though we're all beginning to get ready for year end, it does remain quite busy within Washington, D.C. So a few items to update our listeners on today, beginning with the potential for a shutdown of the U.S. government. Now, Congress is expected to head home for the holidays later this week. An agreement to avert a shutdown, the deadline is December 20th. So at this point, as we're recording on the 17th, only a few days away. So where do negotiations stand as of today, Shane?
Well, actually, just hearing now that an agreement has been made. Now this is an agreement that we're just learning about, and we expect, you know, details to emerge in the coming, you know, hours. The bill text will probably be released, you know, this afternoon, and then we can plow through it and really dive into the details. But what it appears to be is a government funding bill to extend government funding through March 14th. So, you know, just a few months away. And, you know, that will provide more time to finish off all of government funding through the remainder of the fiscal year, which is the end of September 2025. But, you know, as you know, this is the proverbial Christmas tree where, you know, end of the year items are going to be attached. It's my understanding that this bill will also include about $100 billion for emergency aid and disaster relief. You know, we've had some devastating hurricanes that not only hit Florida, but North Carolina this year. So that's not to include, you know, wildfires out west. So, you know, that will be a significant amount of money to deal with a lot of those natural disasters. There are also reports of other provisions that, you know, we were not expecting. You know, something along the lines of the bill is going to make year-round and permanent E15 ethanol sales nationwide available. Usually that's only seasonal. So I think I'm not deeply entrenched in this issue, but I believe this is an issue that, you know, those who grow corn will be enthused to hear about. And I think those who care about the environment usually are pleased to see this. So, you know, this will be a far-ranging bill, and I think we're going to learn a lot more of the details to come today. I think the timing, as you know, is short. You know, government funding ends Friday, you know, at the stroke of midnight going into Saturday. So I think you'll see the House pass this, you know, Thursday or Friday, and then the Senate pass it Friday. Maybe it takes them to the wee hours of Saturday morning, and there's technically a government shutdown, but in reality it won't be long-lasting if that scenario happens. I think everyone wants to get home for the holidays, so I think lawmakers are going to try and to expedite it. You will see grumbling probably from, you know, the far right and the far left. But overall, I expect this bill to become a law with, a healthy number of lawmakers supporting it.
Well, some very positive developments, and great to have this breaking news here on the podcast. So thank you, Shane, for the updates on government funding. Sticking with legislation, another priority of Congress, which has faced challenge in recent days, that being the securing of economic aid specifically for farmers. I believe our last conversation we had spoken about the prospects of a farm bill. How might this all play out given the developments you just shared with us?
Yeah, I think extension of the farm bill is included in this government funding bill, but again, I have not seen the details. I think my understanding is that it's probably going to be a one-year extension of the farm bill, which is going to upset many farm states and lawmakers representing those farm states and districts. They were hoping for a longer, more sustainable bill of, you know, 3 to 5 years. 5 years would have been the preferable option. But I just don't think lawmakers were close enough to reach such deals. So I think to sweeten the deal, there's going to be an inclusion of $10 billion in economic assistance for farmers. And that should get them across the finish line. I think, you know, doing a real 5-year farm bill will be a focus for many lawmakers in 2025, which is absolutely doable and attainable. However, looking ahead at what's on the agenda for 2025, you know, it's already a full plate, you know, starting with government funding, but also a lot of issues like a tax bill and more. So, you know, the plate is already full. So I think, you know, Farm Bill is maybe a loser to some extent, but we'll see how it plays out in 2025. I do think, you know, that I'll mention again that $10 billion sweetener for economic assistance for farmers will help them kind of swallow this pill.
Thank you, Shane, for the clarity there. Overall, some positive developments in recent time with respect to legislation. Maybe if we turn away from legislation for a moment, turn over to geopolitics, there have been some notable developments in the Middle East since we last spoke. We have witnessed the fall of the Assad regime in Syria, which has been in place for some 50 years. What are the implications here for the region at large? And will the U.S. be involved in any way with Syria's rebuild or next chapter?
Very fascinating developments that are changing very quickly. I mean, think about how long it took for these factions to come together and oust the Assad government. You know, it was about a week and a half. So you, this is going to be continuing to develop. You know, I think from the high level at this point, it's quite clear that, you know, Russia and Iran are the losers. You know, Iran has, for years used Syria as their proxy, but also kind of their pathway to, the region where, you know, they would use Syria as their supply route to Lebanon to, give not only military assistance to, Hezbollah, but also, you know, financial assistance. So, you, Iran really has, you know, had to take a step back from the fall of the Assad regime, and Russia as well, maybe to a little bit of a lesser degree, but it's losing one of their spheres of influence in the region, and that's going to be a blow to Russia from the foreign policy perspective. The road ahead remains somewhat unclear. You know, you have this interim caretaker government being set up. A lot of questions about, you know, not only who's in this government, but, you know, what is their path forward. You know, the interim government is kind of proclaiming to be not going to be, you know, stirring up some of the old rivalries in the region, you know, within the country, you know, Kurds versus Druze versus Islamists. So it's a question that is probably going to take a while to sort out. And you've actually, to your point, seen, you know, U.S. Secretary of State Blinken reach out to the government, you know, to try and extend a little bit of an olive branch and feel them out and encourage them not to go down the route of authoritarianism and start, you know, settling old grievances. But you're also seeing Turkey start to eye and Syria and look for regional power. And, you know, there is concern about Turkey having an incursion into Syria and really using influence there. Israel as well, you know, shares a border with Syria and is, you know, pushing a little bit in that demilitarized zone. And, you know, you're actually seeing some of the Druze community asking for Israel for protection, essentially from this new Syrian government, as they feel confident that, you know, Israel would allow them religious freedoms and protection. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting path ahead. You know, you have tens of millions in Syria. You also have, I think, about 6 million Syrians living abroad who have fled over the years. And, you know, some of them may go home. I think some of them will continue to live where they are now. This is going to be a very important question for not only the region, but the world. You know, what is the future of Syria?
It's indeed a very complicated situation. So thank you, Shane, for keeping us informed with respect to what we know as of today. And this particular topic, one I'm sure we'll continue to talk about in the year ahead. Before we close out, Shane, if we come back stateside with a new year, of course, we'll bring a new Congress. You had mentioned a few moments ago how Congress will have a full plate in 2025. So what are some expected priorities upon the return of Congress in the new year that you'll be monitoring the most?
Yeah, I think the early days and weeks and months of 2025, at times it may feel like we have whiplash. You know, we're jumping from one subject to the next. There'll be a lot of moving parts. I think, you know, the first few weeks in Congress are kind of establishing themselves, setting themselves up, you know, getting committees going, getting members assigned to committees, which is actually happening now, but they have to officially ratify that, you know. So there's a lot of kind of paperwork, if you will. But then, you know, on January 20th, you have President Trump being sworn in, and I think he'll be acting very quickly on a number of executive orders, specifically on immigration and possibly tariffs. At the same time, Congress will be then dealing with the government funding bill and trying to get that in order. But a big item, I think, is what will Republicans in power in Congress and President Trump, what will their kind of signature piece try to be for the first 100 days of Trump's second term presidency, right? And Republicans have not decided yet. They're looking at a variety of issues and strategies. There's a lot of talk about, you know, a border immigration bill being the top issue. Taxes continue to be a top tier item. Republicans are kind of figuring out how they want to sequence that, though. Do they want to lead with that, or is that going to be an end of the year item? Because, you know, the 2017 tax cuts do not expire until the end of the year. And then, you know, of course, at the same time, the Senate will be busy approving President Trump's nominations to different departments and agencies, which is quite time consuming. And, you know, there is no lack of issues to be dealt with. So, you know, those are just a few quick items that come top of mind. There's so much more, to be dealt with. I think tariffs will be a storyline, for us to follow throughout the year because, not only of, their impact, on, the economy, but, you know, the bargaining, if you will, that, and negotiating that President Trump will be engaging with foreign leaders. Foreign policy will obviously be a hot topic throughout 2025. So busy year ahead, and stay tuned.
Definitely. Well, we indeed will have a lot to talk about in just a few weeks' time. So with that, Shane, do wish you a happy and healthy holiday season. Hope you enjoy some downtime and do really appreciate all of the contributions, the insights you've shared with our listeners, our clients here on the podcast throughout the course of 2024. And as always, do look forward to continuing our conversation again soon.
Looking forward, Dan. Thank you for having me. Happy holidays. Hope you get some rest, and I look forward to talking to you in 2025.
Sounds good. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. As always, I do want to remind you, our listeners, our clients, you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication up on UBS.com/Washington Weekly from UBS Studios. I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.